Today's Mishnah in Masechet Idiot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yud Aleph. So yesterday, we learned that Rabbi Gamliel, actually in some cases, was machmer like Beit Shammai, despite the fact that he himself was from the Tzatzei of Hillel. And that means that we had those three things he was machmer. This Mishnah says there were also three things that Rabbi Gamliel Dafka was the one who was meikel kineged the Chachomim. So af hu, the same Rabbi Gamliel, also said shlosha dvorim lahakel. What are the three things that he was meikel on? Mechabdim ben hamitot. So first of all, remember that when you do not have a covered floor, there's no tiling on the floor. Actually, when if you remember from your Masechet Shabbos, this is also nageh all the floors in the area, because otherwise we have a problem of sweeping the floor. You cannot sweep a floor on Shabbos if it's not tiled, or if there's a basis for gezerah of even where it's tiled, because most of the homes aren't tiled. And that's because of ashvuye gumais. So since if there are any types of areas on the floor that are not smooth, so then if you go ahead and you smooth them out while you are sweeping, that would be a type of binyan. It could be mechalel Shabbos, because the binyan of a home with a floor is to have a flat floor. Because of that, we aser kibud habayit. However, he was matir being mechabed bein hamitot. So remember, the mitot in those days were the places that you sat on, the Roman couches that you sat on while you ate. Those areas are swept three times a day. It's highly unlikely that there's going to ever be any gumais in an area that is constantly swept. People sit down, they eat, and immediately the servants come in and they sweep away the crumbs and so on. So how would there be gumais in a place like that? So because of that, we did not aser kibud ben amitot, because of a gzera of binyan, it's kimat not shayach that there should be binyan there. Another thing he was making on was meinichan et ha-mugmar biyom tov. So remember that anything that's considered to be ochel nefesh, which doesn't mean mamish ochel nefesh, but we understand that anything which is the equivalent of a hana, that everyone would have that and realize that that's part of my hana anyantev, so then that's mutter. But the Chachamim said there are things that are not mutter, even though they're a hana, because it says, Asher yachel l'chol nefesh, hu levado yaseh lachem. L'chol nefesh means this is the type of thing that everybody would engage in. Now, you cannot tell me that everybody uses the mugmar. The mugmar is incense that you put out on the table. I mean, maybe in India they do, but it certainly is not everyone that uses incense. And since it's not l'chol nefesh, the Chachamim held, you weren't allowed to put down the mugmar on Yontav, because it would be actually burning on Yontav, which would not be called the Tzorech l'chol nefesh. And the third thing that he argued on the Chachamim was, he said, Osim gedim kulas b'leilei psachim, that you're allowed to make a gedi that's roasted, and it's roasted mamish the same way that you are roasting, if it would be a real carbon Pesach, that is also mutter to do on Leil Pesach. Mekulas is actually, the Lashon of Mekulas means it has a hat on it. You know that one of the favorite things that whales like to do is they put a little bit of a hat on their head, which consists of a dead squid or stuff like that. You didn't know that, huh? So that's called a kelas is the name for it. So a mikulas would mean that it looks like it has the insides that are put on its head, which was the way that you used to actually roast the Korban Pesach. And he held that that would be a mutter as a zecher for the Korban Pesach. The Rambam learns that the Lashon of Mekulas means, like we always use the word kelas, lekales, which is to say something, shevach, leshaveach, lekales. So it would mean that we're making it look very beautiful, which is to give it the chashivas of a Korban Pesach. Masha'enke and others learn that the word for kova, the targum of kova, is kulas, which we learn out from Golias, because the targum of the kova that Golias was wearing was targumed as kulas de nechash, a copper kulas, so it's a type of armor that you wear over your head. Masha'enken, the Chachomim aser all of these. Again, the Gezerah, they say, we're not going to make a difference in where in the house you're able to sweep, and therefore they asered it, and they held that the idea of a mugmar is not shav elechol nefesh, and therefore it's not mutter in terms of elechol nefesh on yontav. And they were afraid, as we've seen in many places, that something that looks like the Korban Pesach, people might think that the people are actually eating a Korban Pesach, and they brought it outside of Yerushalayim, and they brought it b'zman hazeh, which of course would be aser, and therefore they asered eating the Bimakulas. Famous stories, of course, that we had about Tudus and so on about this sugya elsewhere. Mishnah, closing Mishnah, and Perek Gimel. Mishnah Yud Beit, which is exactly the same Mishnah that we learned in Masechet Beit. Shlosha Devarim, another three things. This time it's Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah who's matir, and it's the Chachamim who aser, and what was the case? Well, maybe he didn't really matter it, but I can tell you that Paratoyo Tzaber Tzuash Ben Karneha, his cow used to go out wearing a pretty ribbon between its horns. Now, the truth is, again, as you'll recall, Lo Paratoya was the part of Ashkena, and it wasn't that he was matir, but since he wasn't mocher in the para of the Shechina that used to go around, and everybody knew, how is this woman going around with these beautiful ribbons on her cow if Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah hadn't been matir it? So this is like a nasty way of saying, well, you know, he was matir, he wasn't really matir. But since, that's why it doesn't say, paro yotza, this is parato yatza'ah, beretzua sheben karneha, which is not really mutter, but what would be the tzad of heter? Is in the same way that something that is worn by a human being, how are you allowed to go out wearing clothes on Shabbos? Aren't you carrying those clothes around? But the point is that anything that is the derech, that is bottled to the body, because this is the way that the person usually is not considered to be a masa, obviously. Well, the same thing, of course, is true of an animal. If an animal is wearing something that it always wears, like a blanket or so on, those kind of things are to the animal what a beged would be or a coat would be to a human. And therefore, even though you have an iser in your animal doing melacha on Shabbos, or you'd be usser in being mechamerach or behemtecha on Shabbos, this would not be called carrying at all, because that is bato. So that would be the tzad, that if these pretty ribbons were considered to be a beged, since they're a takshit, it would be no different than your little girl going out on Shabbos with a pretty ribbon in her head. So that's not considered to be carrying. And that would be the tzad that it was mutter. Lamaisa, the Rabbanan considered that to be something that's not a standard dress. And prettying up a cow with a little ribbon for Betsy is not the normal way of dressing a cow. So because of that, it would be actually an act of masa. Furthermore, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said that since I paskin like Rabbi Shimon, that a dover she'eno mitkaven is mutter, you'd be allowed to be mikared a behema on yontav. Now, kirud, which actually is close to the English word curry, to curry an animal, so you curry horses, right? So you curry the horse with a type of comb that has fine and sharp teeth in it, or a brush that has these fine teeth in it. You can actually find these for your dog in most supermarkets, where you have a whole brush which has these little metal, very thin metal teeth And if you'll rub it across your back of your hand, you'll cause scratching and even bleeding. So he held that if you're mekare de behema with this type of comb or brush, it may cause bleeding, which is also, of course, on Shabbos, but it doesn't have to cause bleeding. And it can be used, therefore, because it's a davar shena miskaven, and a davar shena miskaven is mutter according to if it's not a psik resha. This is not a psik resha, and Rabbi Shimon would be matir, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah paskind like Rabbi Shimon. V'shochakin et ha-pilpilim b'rechayim shelahem, and on Yontif, you'd be allowed to grind peppercorns in the special grinder that is made for grinding pepper, because after all, it's Yontif, and that is a tzerech oichel nefesh. You're going to have pepper, so you twist your little top of the pepper grinder, and you get yourself fresh pepper. Why would that be aser if it's part of the way that you need to eat? The Chachamim, however, hold like Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Shimon, and therefore they say a davar shena miskaven is also aser. And since the kirud may cause bleeding, so therefore it's clearly aser to do on Shabbos or on Yontif, which we're talking about over here. And even though you're 100% right that it should be mutter to grind the pepper, but we aser anything which is done as an uvda d'chol. This is a new idea, according to Chachamim, that things that are uvda d'chol, they're done in the same way that you do them on a regular weekday, are usher to do as it's done b'chol. And therefore, they ushered using this pepper grinder because of the fact that it is almost like it's ignoring the presence of Yontif completely. It's as if it's a regular morning at the breakfast table to grind the pepper and put it in your eggs. Because of that, they said to do it in an unusual way. Rabbi Yehuda, Ein mekardina tabema b'yontov, b'pnei shu oseh chabura. Now, what he means is, of course, not that he will make a chabura, but a klishitasei, that he might make a chabura. So even if it's a davar she'eino miskaven and it's not a psik resha, it's still usur. Because in the event that you actually would cause a chabura, it would be called a malacha, which according to Rabbi Shimon is not true. It's simply not called a malacha because the malacha is only a malachas machsheves. Okay? So therefore, he answers it. But he agrees that even though you can't do a kirud, you can do a kirtsuf. And a kirtsuf is a type of currying, but you use these wider wooden combs, and those are not going to make any kind of scratch. They're very smooth, but they still separate the hairs and they get the dirt out. So that you can do because it's not going to cause bleeding. Masha'enkin, the Chachamim say, you're actually, so we have three shitas. The Chachamim say, ein mekardim en af lo mekartzefim, because since people cannot actually distinguish between one and the other, they say, not only do we hold of Rabbi Yehuda, that a davar shena miskaven is aser, but we also hold that you cannot distinguish between the types of comb. If you're going to aser one, you have to aser the other. Wow. Okay. Hadron aloch, kol amitamim, neder. To be continued, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow. There's a handy hand, I think, however.
Yeah, if there's time for a question on the daf, Rabbi mentioned by the.
Oh, wait a minute here. This can't be on the same recording. Hold on. Vey is mir messing up all of my.